Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. What it do?
Oh, hey.
What's up?
Threw me off with that. All right.
Well, I was really jamming to that open.
Yeah,
like
what
it.
Are we? Yeah, is this?
I like it. Who did that? Lowercase, did you do that?
I think that's all Swag's doing.
Swagard? Nice.
Boy, the idea of Swag putting together some sort of hip-hop open.
I know.
Boy, you want to talk about uncomfortable.
There's a little EDM in there.
Yeah, I give you that.
Isn't it?
Because nothing's.
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, electronic dance music. Yeah, nothing says EDM, techno, funk like one Jason Swaggart.
Tell you what, he pulled it off.
Yeah, you were feeling it right
there.
That
was pretty good.
Yeah, you were bumping.
I was bumping.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop. All right, welcome in. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back.
I'm a balloon. Oh, welcome back. Oh.
You weren't here on Friday, I don't think.
No.
You're awful quiet if you were.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, welcome back. Oh, yeah. Well, it's the holidays, so instead of taking, like, big chunks now because we've got playoffs and short staff, we're just kind of chopping it up and taking
playoffs.
A day or two
playoffs.
Here, day or two there.
Playoffs.
You know, kind of one of those things.
Not
I didn't
me.
Do anything on Friday.
Oh, you didn't?
Well, you're gone next Friday.
Or
this Friday.
Yeah, I know. I'm gone a lot.
Yeah.
Moving forward, so just buckle up.
Yeah, it's the holiday season where we're just kind of, you know, a little bit of here, a little bit of there.
January 2nd, we'll all be back, and then we'll just... We'll party until the Super Bowl, and then all bets are off again. But you didn't do anything. I thought you were going to some sort of Christmas party or something.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
that doesn't count.
Well, we didn't go anywhere. I mean, it was here locally. Yeah, the BTJ has her company Christmas party. So, I went to that, but I wouldn't say that that's like, do you think that's doing anything?
I mean, it's technically doing something.
I guess.
Yeah.
When I say doing something, I assume that means
travel.
Like going somewhere. We went to like the Rivermark Hotel. So,
where's that?
It's right down there by
The Rivermark. Yeah,
the Rivermark.
Down by our old office.
Yeah,
it's right
down,
nice
right down there on the river.
Do you remember when Odyssey back then Intercom?
Yeah, we had
gave us a Christmas party.
Yeah,
and it was there.
Yeah,
that was one of our finest Christmas parties ever.
The Christmas party has been eliminated.
An
from
Odyssey
the
station.
Yeah, since cut from the budge.
Now, the BTJ, Shelter Forest, shout out to them. They do a great Christmas party.
Is that her company?
That's her company.
Shelter Forest?
Yeah, they're big in the plywoods of the world.
They deal in plywood?
They deal in plywood. If you've ever bought an Airstream trailer, the wood in that trailer.
Well, I haven't, but.
Yeah.
It's plywood?
Yes.
Really?
Well, it's like
inside?
They do high-end. It's high-end wood products. But yeah, plywood.
Wait. Is there such thing as high-end plywood?
Yes, there is. It's inside Airstreams and Mercedes and all of that stuff. Yeah, that's all high-end plywoods.
Plywood?
Yeah.
I didn't think of, like, plywood and high-end don't.
And yet they do.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't.
Yeah.
That doesn't. I don't.
Yeah.
I kind of, it's like, you know.
Doesn't quite.
It doesn't jive.
And yet it does. So yeah, they supply a bunch of stuff like that.
I don't believe you.
I don't. I'm pretty sure I'm not.
I think. What's their name? What's their name? I'm calling them out.
Shelter Forest.
That ain't nice plywood. That's trash plywood.
No, they actually do really nice plywood. So yeah, they have a great Christmas party. They get everyone rooms at the hotel. There's open bars. It's a whole thing. It's white elephant gifts.
Well, you know what you missed.
I try to make everyone uncomfortable. I may have gone to the Hustler. That's where I went to the Hustler Megastore. Was to get a white elephant gift.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you ended up buying...
I bought a beginning bondage set to bring there.
Nice.
And, I was like that right amount of, I wanted to make people uncomfortable, but at the same time, not make the BTJ cry. And so it was like, kind of like a fine balance. I did wander the store, and I did tell the nice lady working there, said, can I help you? Are you looking for something specific? And I did say,
how many times did she get that?
Hey, what's up? I said, I'm looking for a white elephant gift. And I said, I'd like to make some people uncomfortable, but not enough to get someone fired and or me in trouble.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had, you know, we explored the studio space and I settled on not the deluxe, but the beginning bonded set. Now, the difference between the beginning and the deluxe, there was no ball gag in the set that I got. Also, nothing was inserted in the beginning bonded set. So I felt pretty good about it. Came with a nice Hustler holiday bag. But even that, I was told that I had to put it in a larger brown paper sack for the fear that no one would pick the Hustler sack, which I disagreed with, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. All that tracks.
Yeah, I thought so.
From what we know about you. And
hey, I contend that that was one of the best gifts that was there. I'll call some people out. If you're going to a White Elephant gift, the amount of the lack of effort that people put out is pathetic.
Well, you're not really supposed to put in a lot of effort,
are you? See, I disagree. Look, I understand that you don't want to spend a bunch of money.
Now, isn't the idea, would you rather have a gag gift or something that's inexpensive but actually a good gift? Because I feel like you could go either way with the White Elephant.
Sure.
You could put something kind of cool in there. Not that expensive, but it's like, wow, I could really use that or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you can just do like what you did.
Yeah. Hey, why can't you do both? Why can't it be a relatively inexpensive but also very fun intro to bondage set? Look, and I will tell you, the people that bought it, they were a younger couple.
Wait, bought it?
Or not bought it, but picked. They got my gift.
Well, but in White Elephant, you don't... you can take...
They don't
something
know.
Something someone else has.
Yeah, you can steal it, but no one stole their gift. No one had the guts to steal the bonded set.
Yeah, nobody wanted it.
So they picked it, and they ended up having to obviously keep it.
Yeah.
I contend that they went home with the most interesting gift. And yes, there are people, like some people do like a nice bottle of liquor.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, you know, there's some fun stuff. But for the most part.
What was the worst thing?
Oh, my God. Well, I don't want to call it. Well, screw it. One of the gifts that I got, someone ended up taking my gift. It was like a Snuggie sort of thing, and someone ended up taking that, and I was like, okay.
And so then what'd they give you?
Nothing, so I had to go back to the table and pick a new one.
Okay.
Right? So when you get your gift stolen,
you have to go pick.
You can't steal someone else's.
But the advantage is being last.
Yes, you want to be last.
Then you can get anybody's.
Yes. And I was not last. I was towards the beginning. So my first gift was like a nice throw blanket. And it was nice. I was like, okay, it's mm-hmm. nice little blanket. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
Good little blanket.
Good little blanket.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
And someone took it. So then I went back up there. And this is the part where it's pathetic. This was pathetic. It was a one dish towel that said, say what's on your mind. And then some sort of family trivia game with like a bell. Honestly, it was, I'm guesses that they, and it wasn't wrapped or anything. My guess is that they received that somewhere else. It literally would be something that you could buy at the checkout at like a Fred Meyer.
The old regift.
Yes. It was like a deck of cards that had trivia and some sort of bell on it. And it was supposed to be some family trivia game, which by the way, you can't like, that's my point. If you want to give a game, that's fine. Go buy a game. Buy a Monopoly, buy a fun Monopoly or a Trivial
Secret
Pursuit. Secret Hitler. You don't buy the most generic, weird $2.99.
Did that make you uncomfortable, lowercase?
It's a real game.
It's a great game. It's a very fun game.
Have you played it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Secret Hitler's great.
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought you were made uncomfortable hearing of the game.
No, I was cutting audio back here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
lowercase in for Schultzy today.
Yeah, the Schnitzel Wolf. So they had that, and then they paired it with one dish towel that said, say what you mean. Come on.
Say what you mean.
Say what you mean on a dish towel. Dude, saying what I mean is you went through your junk drawer and were like, I don't want to spend $9 on a fun White Elephant gift when the company has provided me with a room, free booze, a nice meal, like a really nice Christmas party. You can see the Christmas ships. And your cheap ass couldn't spend $12 to go get something remotely fun. You know, have something a little whimsy. Don't give a dish towel that says, say what you mean. That's bad. At least I put some thought and roamed a Hustler megastore trying to find something that would make people at least get a chuckle out of it.
Yours definitely more courageous.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there was a lot of White Elephant gifts that lacked any sort of imagination, any sort of courage. And I judge you. I do. I think that says something about you. It's like, what's the shopping cart return, right? Like, if you don't return your shopping cart, that says it's something about your character.
Well, you're awful.
You're
an awful person.
I think if you do that.
Just to put it back into the, there are designated places to put your shopping cart.
Yes.
If you are so wrapped up in yourself that you don't take your cart and just put it into one of those places, you just leave it strewn about, you're a horrible person.
Yeah. And I would like to add, if you are going to a nice company party where they do not go cheap, it is at a nice hotel. Again, you get a room, you get a really nice catered meal. There is an open bar. They even give you, there's like a suite they rent out for an after party if people want to hang out and party afterwards. Like, they do it right. And your cheap ass is so boring that you just find an old dish towel that somehow you had lying around, and then you pair it with something else that you have lying around. You throw it in a gift bag, and then you I judge you. I do.
Now, is that person listening?
I don't know.
Do you think that person?
I'm a little worried that they are, and now I'm going to get some blowback on this, but okay. Well, oh, well.
You have courage.
Yeah.
By the way, we've been corrected. You have.
I have.
It is not River Market. It is River's Edge.
Oh, River's Edge.
Hotel.
I'm sorry.
River's Edge Hotel.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. And I think they have a spa down there.
Yeah, it's nice.
And there's a restaurant and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe some homeless.
You know what's not?
It's right. It backs up to the ice building, doesn't it?
You know what's not fun? A dish towel for a white elephant gift.
So you know what you missed?
What'd I miss?
We were invited to the Harrington family household again.
Get right the hell out of town.
Yeah.
Wait, was it on Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, and I wasn't here?
Yeah, you're putting two and two together.
God's sakes.
Yeah. So Joey came on, and it was last second, and I think part of it is...
He felt bad?
No, part of it is he did it last second knowing that we wouldn't be able to come.
Yeah.
But you weren't there, and he was like, oh, man, Suk's not even there. But he's... Because he expected us both to be there. He said he wanted us to come over to the house... Friday night, as they are having an annual sing-along. They do a sing-along where he sits down at the piano and belts out Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Why did I say it like that?
I don't know.
Christmas tunes.
I'm confused by everything. I am so I've been trying to weasel my way into that house for years.
I know you have. And that's exactly what he said. He's like, oh, Suk's going to be pissed about this.
Seriously.
But I couldn't go either. I had to go to the Becky Robinson show, which I don't know if you know who that is.
I have no idea.
She's a comedian. She does bits.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of, she does like golf bits and stuff.
Okay.
She was pretty funny, but it was me, maybe seven other dudes, and about 300 cackly drunk women on Friday night.
Makes
at
sense.
The Aladdin Theater.
I've been to shows like that.
Yeah.
I went to a Noah Kahan concert, and it was that same demographic.
But she's obviously tapped into something, this Miss Robinson, because they are all the women there.
They love her.
Oh, they love her. They're dressed up in golf gear and visors. And
boy, I am.
It's a whole thing.
Not only am I unhappy with my dish towel, but I am even, this is even more insulting that I didn't get to crash the Harrington gathering and I walked away with the dish towel.
Yeah, well, we missed it. I told him that I am not afraid to put something on the calendar a year out.
Yes.
It's just important for me to get it on there so I see it.
Yeah.
And I have it there so I can be reminded as it comes closer. And so I put it down for next year. I'm going to that next year.
Yeah.
Whether he likes it or not.
Yeah. I want a carol. Let's go.
Is it
not caroling? It feels like caroling.
No. Well, I mean, it's just like, I guess he said the whole neighborhood gets together and they just sing around his piano.
No, I can't. The piano. Well, I can't sing, but I'll get drunk and I'll belt it out. I'll carve out a spot on the green couch. Let's go, Joey.
I'll throw in a harmony or two.
Oh, will you?
There's lowercase.
Yeah, we could have some Christmas raps.
Yes.
With lowercase.
There's not many Christmas raps. You got what? Christmas in Hollis, right? That's the old
burm,
run.
Burm, burm,
yeah.
Burm, burm, burm.
Yeah, a little Run DMC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year!
Yeah, there you go.
See? There's the DMX version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
See, I'm not familiar. The only rap or hip-hop Christmas song I know is the Christmas in Hollis, Hollis, right? Yeah, Queens.
Now, it got a little awkward because Schulte wanted to go.
Oh.
And Schulte was going to fanboy out. He even said...
You can't have that.
Right. I said, Schulte, we're not going to allow that to happen.
No.
You can't.
No.
You can't be doing that with Joey.
No.
And he wanted to sing, you know, because Schulte, he likes to sing.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh, that's an awkward.
Yeah. Well, luckily it was like, well, we're not going, so you're not going. He's like, could I have come? I'm like, nah, probably not. I don't think so, Schultz. Not
and
this
while
time.
We love Schultzy, I will tell you that wouldn't.
No, we no, wouldn't want to. No. That would have been bad for all parties.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's just enough said. I think we could all realize where that was going, and no one needs it to go there. Valid point.
Well, nice to have you along. It's a broken up week for us.
Yes.
As Thursday is Rams Seahawks, so we will not have a show.
No.
But we have a show today.
By the way, that's a huge game.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Yeah. We have a show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah. Except I won't be here on Wednesday, but.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And I won't be here on Friday.
Again, welcome to the holiday season.
Hey, you want to host a show?
You're getting some choppiness. Deal with it.
Hey, if you need me, it's what I'm here for.
One of us will be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. Look, again, it's the holidays. Be happy you're getting what you're getting.
That's right. You could get none of us. You could play ESPN radio or whatever they play sometimes.
You get hot takes. Coming
all right, y'all. Let's start with the weekend that was in the NFL. We're going to go NFL because there wasn't much college.
No.
Although there was.
Army-Navy was good.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah.
Good finish, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's all you can ask for from Army-Navy because it's not going to be a good game. But if you get a good finish.
Right.
You know.
And that's what we got.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not going to start there. We're going to start with the injury-plagued Sunday in the NFL.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ducks and Dukes on the Fan this Saturday, pregame at noon with Ducks Game Day, brought to you by Cooters Live.
I can officially say I've watched way too much James Madison football, and I will never watch another game. Well, that's not true, because I will watch Oregon James Madison, and then I will not watch any more James Madison football.
After the game, stay for the Dick Hanna Dealerships post-game scoreboard.
Mm.
Okay.
I flipped my way through James Madison Old Dominion, and I was about 10 minutes of watching it. I was like, what am I doing?
What are you doing?
Stop this.
ODU.
Yeah, every now and then, like, that's when I'm watching, like, preseason football, and I'll have, like, or a spring game, and it's the Michael Jordan meme. Stop it. Get some help.
Dusty said he was watching James Madison film.
Yeah.
And he said, he was like, wow, that defensive end's pretty good.
Yeah, they got a freshman number.
How big is he?
Yeah.
And he looks him up.
Yeah.
He's 6'1", 240.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a guy in the...
That's like me. Oh, wait, I'm not 240.
But. Yeah, I can only go by numbers because, to be honest with you,
6'1".
I don't care enough.
So it's actually not like me at all.
It's not like you at all.
No, I'm actually small.
But the athleticism, there was this kid when they were the Troy. He was number 15, and I did see that he was a freshman. Dude, that guy was all over the field. Like, he was tearing stuff up. And then you're like, well, he's playing against Troy, and he's a freshman.
Well,
I think that's the kid that's like 6'1", 240.
6'1", 240, wreaking havoc.
And by the way, that 240 is probably is more like 225.
Watch out.
When you're a DN and they list you at 240,
nimble.
You're trying to bump that up.
The Dukes of Madison James are nimble. And they're bringing their blowtorch to the to Autzen on Saturday.
Yeah.
So buckle up.
Yeah.
And we're going to have it for you here on the Fan.
Yes, we will.
Stupid college football playoff finally starting.
I know.
Friday, I think, is Alabama-Oklahoma, which is nice.
Yeah.
But
two of those games should be good, and two of them should be...
We begin today's show with the NFL. A very big weekend in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been a more meaningful day of injuries?
Well...
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like key injuries that kind of upend. Now, look, the Chiefs were struggling anyway.
Yeah.
But with, I mean, it's just the nail in the coffin of the Chiefs. They're done.
It's like, it's a very fitting way for this season, which just has been marred with like penalties and drops and inconsistency and just bad ball. And on the day where they got eliminated, Mahomes suffers his first real injury of his career.
Right at the end.
Right as they were,
could have maybe won or tied it, but then it's like Mahomes ACL. Minshew, I guess Minshew for a second gave us hope that he completed that first pass and was like, oh, okay, maybe he can get it into overtime.
Yeah, they were only down by three.
Yeah, and then he does Gardner Minshew things. Yeah. So the Chiefs are out, and then Parsons blows his ACL out.
Yeah.
He's out, and then...
Watson gets hurt, Tom goes down. So
Devontae Adams got hurt.
Yeah, well, and Adams is a hammy that he had been battling, so all of a sudden, like...
And that's, he won't play on Thursday. That's huge.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's not playing on Thursday.
So, and then the Packers and Rams with Parsons and Adams, and then, of course, Watson, but they got better news about Watson, right?
Well, we don't, they're saying that they don't think it's season ending. So we'll see, but he's got a chest injury. Zach Tom, who's their best old lineman, went down. We don't know how long he's out. And Micah Parsons, who you brought in, Micah Parsons is a gravitational defensive player. And you brought him in not for this. You brought him in for the playoffs. You brought him in for the playoffs in the NFC Championship game. And without him, and already you kind of have leaky corners, which, by the way, scares the hell out of you after Denver just absolutely torched you, a Denver passing game that really isn't that explosive. And they looked like the greatest show on turf against you. And now you lose the one gravitational defensive player you have. You're already down Tucker Kraft. This is a completely different offense without Watson, and we don't know when he's going to be out. And now you lose your best offensive lineman. That is as damaging a loss as you could have for one team as far as not only in the standings, but then just moving forward. And from like a vibes check, that is a crushing blow. The worst, the least of your problems leaving that game was the actual loss. It was everything else that went along with it.
But you could argue the Packers and Rams were, I mean, they are the favorites in the NFC, and they both lost the most impactful acquisitions of the off or of the season.
Yes,
I mean Adams and Parsons. Well, and then of course the Super Bowl champs.
Yep.
Lose their fearless leader, and they're eliminated. So it's just a real, like, talk about it, upending the league.
Well, and it may turn
on
a page,
one day.
Yeah, and it may turn the page in Kansas City. Like, I don't. Talking heads, and I understand what you have to do, and you speak in...
Hey, wait, you are one.
I don't think I am. In the sense that I think we try to do a fun, entertaining show, and we're not living with these...
Speak for yourself.
...outrageous statements, right? Whether that's the Bo Nix narrative, whether it's the Shedeur Sanders narrative, what's Caleb Williams, whatever, we speak in this these giant rises and falls, right? Like... You can get a national media member that earlier this year was talking about that Denver needs to probably go find a new quarterback because Bo Nix has regressed that much. We just got done playing probably the best game of his career. They're the number one seed and look like right now the best team in the NFL.
And he's the best statistical quarterback in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so why don't we all, the deep breath. And so the Kansas City stuff is going to be, this is over, right? The dynasty is over. And in some ways, they are right in that this is going to be the turning of the page. That this is going to have to be Chiefs 3.0, right? So you had the first run with Tyreek Hill, and then they already did turn the page, and it became more of a defensive-minded team, and they won Super Bowls with that. And now with this, Kelce will be gone. They have to find something to do with their offensive skilled players. They don't have a running back. They don't have a reliable receiver. They lead the league in drops. Mahomes, for the first time in his career, is mortal. He's going to come back from his first real injury, and they are going to have to retool. Kansas City next year will not be one of the two or three favorites. So while, yes, this run is over, remember that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, in their first 9 seasons, both won 3 Super Bowls, right? Mahomes actually has had a better first 9 years than Tom Brady. Mahomes actually went to 5 Super Bowls and won 3 of them, has never not been in an AFC title game to this year. Tom Brady went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. But yes, this run is over. But when you have Patrick Mahomes, and hopefully if Andy Reid sticks around, this Chiefs team will rise. But I do think that this injury and them missing the playoffs, this is officially the end of that era of the Chiefs. And now there's going to have to be a year or two of figuring things out, getting younger, and rebuilding this.
Has there ever been, like, Kelsey's going to retire.
He should.
But the end of his career has just been kind of, it's been kind of ugly and sad.
It's not great.
Like, I mean, I guess maybe it's revisionist history in my head. I'm thinking of how other guys went out. His is just, maybe it's just because they're so high profile and we watch them a lot.
Yeah.
But boy, it's been a bad year for him.
It's not great.
He looks terrible, and he's crying over there, and he doesn't have any answers. And it's just like, man, maybe he waited a year or two. Yeah. I mean, I get it. You're coming off the Super Bowl loss. You want to come back and maybe get some, you know, try to win another one before you go out. But this has just, it has not looked good for Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and he.
This year. And then Mahomes probably won't even be back for the start of the season.
No, probably not.
So. Yeah, it's over. The Mahomes-Kelce era, at least, of the Chiefs is over.
Yeah, it is. And Chris Jones is still playing high-level football, but he's not the player that he once was.
That comes at you fast, doesn't it?
It does. And they handed out some bad contracts, so those need to be addressed. The offensive weapons that they've put around haven't developed the way they were hoping. This is going to be... There's going to be some growing pains, and they're going to have to prune the bushes a little bit in order to regrow. And that's going to be weird to think about. I think going forward, I just don't think the next year or two, we're going to talk about Kansas City the way we have for a decade. And that will feel odd. It feels odd now talking about them not being in the postseason. It's strange. It's weird.
Yeah. I think we all kind of thought they would somehow find a way to get in there and then scare the crap out of everyone.
Yep. And but it just wasn't, didn't. No. And it wasn't like one all thing. Right. It was, like I said, if you've watched the Chiefs all year, it is dumb penalties, ridiculous drops, battle line play, injuries, age, and inexperience all coming together. Like, and none of those things are independent of each other. Like, and they're still in a lot of those games. They're like, look at their losses. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they have a loss by double digits. Everything has been in single digits in close games. It's just, they just don't finish. They are not a good football team right now. And that is really, really weird to say.
All right. Well, now to the real story of the weekend. We buried the lead.
We did.
Grandpa Phil.
Grandpa Phil. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Took you a minute.
It did. I was like... I was thinking Uncle Phil. I was like, wait, did
French... Grandpa?
I was like, Grandpa Phil.
Grandpa Phil got out there.
I'm not going to criticize it.
Gives me hope that I could play quarterback at 50.
Boy,
a little bit.
The ball comes out a little differently.
A little fluttery.
44 a little slow. Comes out a little.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
They almost won.
They did.
In Seattle.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up next. But first, here is Lowercase. They call him Lowercase. His name's Casey. With SportsCenter. Yeah, it is the first round of the college football playoff, but Thursday is a bigger game. Well, I don't know if it is a bigger game. It's just an NFL regular season game, but the division's on the line.
Yeah.
When the Rams play the Seahawks in Seattle, here on The Fan on Thursday.
Seattle needs to, like, this is a big game for Seattle because I've been saying this all along. I like Seattle. I thought they were a playoff team, but they smell right now to me like pretenders. They smell like last year's Vikings. A la Sam Darnold. I think they need this game. They to me have to prove that they can beat an elite team. And when you look at this offense, and I don't doubt that their defense is legit. But I mean, you played an old man that couldn't really throw the ball, and you beat him 18-16 at home, and you needed a 56-yard kind of last second field goal in order to do that. That worries me a bit. Cause when you look right now at their wins, I ask, you've lost to the Niners and you've lost to the Buccaneers and you lost to the Rams, the Texans and the Jags. And both of those wins came when those two teams were kind of trying to figure stuff out. I guess those are kind of what you point to, right? Like the Jags win 20-12, the Texans, I don't even know if CJ Stroud played in that game. The Texans were going through it then, and we thought, I think they were 2-4 when that went down. So I need to see this. I need your offense to show up in a real game against a real contender and beat the Rams. You do that, and I think you go into this postseason with a completely different feel. You lose this game, and like I said, I just think you're the West Coast version of the Minnesota Vikings. So welcome to the postseason and get bounced in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this outcome has any bearing on, at least for me, what the Seahawks are. I think they are the West Coast version of the Minnesota Vikings. That doesn't mean they can't make a good playoff run. I know Minnesota didn't, but that's what they are. It's just their defense is awesome. I kind of give them a little bit of a pass for the Colts game because I feel like they were overlooking. I mean, look, when Philip Rivers is coming off of coaching high school and he's the opposing quarterback,
yeah,
you know, and the Colts have not looked good recently, and then you've got a big game coming up in 4 days. Mm-hmm. That was sort of a get-in, get-out game for the Seahawks. Like, that was teed up for them to overlook.
You damn near lost.
Oh, I know, but I think that part of it is they overlooked him. One of the things about the Colts is, you know, outside of their quarterback situation, they're a good team.
Yeah.
They have a good O-line. They can run the ball. So, I mean, we talked about this on Friday, but it felt to me like that spread, that they were like 2 touchdown favorite. I mean, the Colts are not that bad. And Philip Rivers coming in there can't be any worse than freaking Riley Leonard. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think we got a little carried away with how bad it was going to be. Rivers can play the position. He's not good.
No.
But he did. It was shades of Peyton Manning in Denver is what it was. Yeah. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's seeing. That's the thing. Like, I'll give you J.J. McCarthy, right? J.J. Mm-hmm. McCarthy's like this. He's a hell of an athlete. You got to give him that. He can make some plays. We saw him last night. I think just half the time, J.J. McCarthy doesn't know what he's looking at.
Yeah.
I'll give you that, or I'll give you Philip Rivers, who knows exactly what he's looking at all times and is really smart back there, but can't throw from me to you.
Yeah.
Which do you want? Well, the Colts are saying, we'd rather have the latter. We got a good run game. We got a good O-line. Our defense is playing all right. So I think that the Seahawks, it was part the Seahawks overlooked the Colts, and they shouldn't have because the Colts are still fighting, right? They're fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah.
So I give them a little bit more of a pass for that game, but I also don't really think that if they lose to the Rams, it means anything different about the Seahawks. The Seahawks kind of are what they are.
Yeah.
They're not favored to win, by the way. I think the Rams are the slight favorite.
I would assume.
On that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you would assume? I would have thought maybe Seahawks would be favored since they lost the first one and they're at home.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
Thursday night.
And we'll see, you know, Adams being out with the hamstring, but Charles Cross may be out too. You know, he got injured on that field goal. And look, this is a run game too that is kind of up and down and can kind of disappear. They didn't run the ball at all with the Colts and, I mean, kick 6 field goals. If Cross isn't playing, I mean, him and Zabel are by far your 2 best O-linemen. Keep an eye on that as well. I think McDonald said that I think it was like, we'll see if he can go on Thursday. So, yeah, I guess in my mind, and you're right, look, these are both playoff teams, but this division is still, by the way, up in the air. Even Niners are still sniffing around.
Niners are only a game back.
Yeah, so not only does this game just have monster implications for winning the division, has monster implications for maybe getting a first-round bye, getting the bye when you look around. And again, I guess it's just it's a mental thing. And I know this doesn't weigh on the Seahawks, but I just all year long I've been saying I just don't think Seattle is for real. I think they are a good team that beats bad teams, but is fatally flawed. See the Minnesota Vikings. And this would go a long way in my mind of just calming that down. Go prove that you can beat a team with a lot on the line and prove to me that you can do more than kick 6 field goals. Run the ball a little bit. And don't let bad Sam Darnold pop up and finish some of these drives. You're damn lucky to get away with that win against Philip Rivers and the Colts. And that would have been, I know it wouldn't have been because of him, but man, what a story had Myers missed that field goal. I think it was 56, 57. So it's not like it was a chippy. Had he missed that, man, what a story. For Philip Rivers to come out and manage that game-winning, what would have been a game-winning drive on the field goal.
Well, I just think if you're expecting bad Sam Darnold not to show up, not to pop up, like you said, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You just have to try to overcome it with a great defense and try to get the run game going, and hopefully it's not like at a key time in the game.
Yeah. I just wonder, so this happened to the Saints last year, you know, with this Kubiak scheme. It's so it's predicated on being able to run the ball, kind of mush pass protection, don't put a lot of guys out in the route, and it's predicated on that. And when that gets solved, it's like there's nothing else to go to, and it kind of scares me that we're kind of falling into that. And I would like to see the offense find some juice to it against a Rams team that, you know, is explosive.
Maybe they can play the Cowboys at some point.
How about them Cowboys? Hey, it works.
Then they can find their offense.
If you, JJ McCarthy, hey, that's 2 weeks in a row. Now we can go back to JJ McCarthy.
No. Nine.
Not
JJ McCarthy.
Nine's back.
Nine.
He's hitting the gritty, running into the end zone.
I loved that.
Well, you would think that maybe you would have calmed it down after some.
Well, when you're playing the Cowboys, I mean, you know.
You're talking about laying an egg. A team that still had something to play for? Holy Dallas Cowboys.
Well, they tried to convince us that that Jerry fixed the defense.
Yeah, he did not.
And he did not.
How about them Cowboys?
That's
except,
a team.
Wait. Except he's sitting around right now probably, like, laughing at the Micah Parsons injury.
It pertains to the Cowboys, but also the Seahawks. So let's pick it up next. But I want to talk about how the Seahawks managed the end of the game.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that coming up next here on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, wrapping up the hot Seahawks talk. Hey, look, they escaped with the win. Okay.
Yeah.
So no harm, no foul.
Nope.
Now prove it against the Rams. But I have never seen a coach do what McDonald did at the end of that game. And, of course, he gave credit to his analytics guy or whatever, his numbers guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they called timeout. So if you didn't see it, the Colts were down 2. So the Seahawks were up 15-13. And the Colts had, 15 yards, 20 yards to get into field goal range to try the game-winning field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And rather brilliantly, the Seahawks called their timeouts in order to preserve time to get the ball back and at least have a shot if the Colts went ahead 16-15 to go back down and try to win it 18-16. And that's exactly what happened.
I
have never seen a team do that. That was brilliant.
I think the idea was to, they did not think that Phillip Rivers was going to be able to go down and get a touchdown on him. So it's the idea of...
Well, they were playing for a field goal.
They were playing for a field goal. In fact, on the third down...
That's all they needed.
I was a little surprised. I mean, they ran the ball on third down when it was still... I mean, it was a 60-yard field goal. So if you want to talk about the Colts not wanting the ball to go in the air, and I thought Phillip Rivers did a really nice job, and he managed the game, but he can't throw the ball. I was listening to Matt Ryan talk about it today, and he said all the power when you watch a quarterback throw comes from his legs. And he said when you're a little overweight and you're a little out of shape and you're a little slow with that, he's like, that's where a lot of that zip comes.
I mean, that
lack thereof.
That was pretty obvious. Yeah, I mean, he's going to start next week.
Yeah.
Like I said, at least he knows what he's seeing.
Yeah, and he's not.
And he can get the ball where he needs it to go. It's going to have to be fast. It's going to have to be short.
Yeah.
But that's what he did. And he gave him a chance to win in a very hostile, against a very good defense.
Yeah.
So I was just talking about how the Seahawks handled the timeouts. I thought it was brilliant.
I just wonder if they would have done it against an offense that maybe was a little more, I don't know.
I just don't think any team there is playing for 7. They're all trying to get into field goal range, and what they want to do is get into field goal range where the time runs out with the kick.
The problem is, I guess to that is, if on that third and whatever, third and 6, right? Like, if you have a team that can throw the ball, you pick it up, then...
I mean, now you're in trouble.
Now you're in trouble.
But you were in trouble anyway.
You're in trouble anyway. You're right. I mean, look, it was...
It's smart.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it a little bit.
You've seen that before?
Well, I don't know if I've seen it in that scenario where you're, like, at the 50. What you will see it is when people get inside, like, the 20, and you know it's a chip shot. Yeah. I've seen that.
And they're already in field.
And they're already in field.
Yeah, I think
that's
what was weird about it is that...
Oh, it was midfield.
Some wouldn't use the timeouts because because there's no guarantee they get into field goal range. So now you're buying them time, but it was smart because it's like, because the guys, I read the quote from the guy, I forget his name, who radioed down to Mike to use him.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the only thing we wanted to do was just make sure we did give up the field goal, we didn't want to, but if we did, we had enough time, and they sure enough did. And that raises another question. Why does it feel like when a team needs to get 30, 40 yards to get into position for a last second field goal, why do they seem to get there at an alarming rate?
Yeah.
What is that?
It does feel like right now, with as good as the kickers are, it feels like that is more and more, even an offense that maybe has been scuffling a little bit, there is something to that. It does feel like you're one or two big passes away and now you're sniffing around midfield and then it's right there. I think it goes back to defenses just in general are scared to give up the big play, so they play a little softer. And I'm not saying they play prevent, but I think there is an idea of when you play that high shell look, there's plays to be made over the middle. And defenses, not all of them, but a lot of them are scared to really bring pressure, and it basically turns into a kind of a 7-on-7, which is why with the Broncos, if you have a front four or the Texans that can hunt, it's just such a massive advantage because you can play that coverage and still heat up a quarterback. And the Colts can't really do that.
But how many times do you see a coach heat up a quarterback even when it's that scenario and it works out?
Yeah.
It's like these coaches are so conservative.
Yeah.
NFL, it's wild. It's not all of them, but.
Well, and also too, you have four downs to do it. You know that it's do or die.
But I think, too, with, like, I was talking about the Cowboys, like, with Aubrey. He's such a good kicker that I feel like that hurts Dallas in a sense that, like, the Seahawks can kick field goals and win a game. Mm-hmm. Okay, if the Seahawks get into field goal range, I can see McDonald managing the game, take the points, rely on your defense. Dallas cannot do that. And yet, Dallas, because Aubrey is so good, it's almost like when they get across midfield, it's as if they're just like, well, there's our three. We'll take that. We'll do nine of those. You know what I mean? Like, it hurts. I mean, I know he missed a couple field goals last night.
Yeah.
But when you have a good kicker like the Seahawks and the Cowboys, I think sometimes it can now be a crutch. These guys are making, Aubrey misses a 59-yarder.
Yeah.
59 yards, and you're going, what's the matter with Brandon Aubrey? You know,
it is alarming that the Colts ran the ball into a 60-yard field goal attempt. If you would have told me 4 years ago,
they were good with that.
You're like,
it's probably good. 60.
I've seen the Cowboys do that, where the Cowboys are looking at like a 59, 60-yard field goal, and that's they stop trying to get yards.
That's
like
what
you
I'm
said.
Saying.
Yeah, it's
that,
like,
I don't see a few of those tonight. With the Steelers, the fact that Chris Boswell can kick from 60, but their offense doesn't yet, like
why do they
past
do,
midfield.
I don't know, because it drives me a little banana. I mean, the difference last night in the Broncos-Packers game, the Green Bay got into the red zone three times and kicked three field goals, and Denver went 4-for-4 in the red zone and scored touchdowns. And I do think you bring up an interesting point that at times when you get conservative and you settle for threes, it can really come back in close games and end up biting you right in the ass.
And I think it's part of it is just the three is such a lock now with some of these kickers. Yep. It's like, we know we have three. It's not a risk to kick it. We'll just take it.
Which is why I'm a little surprised that the Colts did what they did on that run, because if they get a first down on that,
but they don't have a quarterback.
You don't have a quarterback, but it's like, you are seeing more and more teams that are realizing that the field goal for the other team is 100% in play, and they will not. There'll be 2.5 minutes left, and it'll be 4th-and-1. And we've seen it where teams do not kick the field goal to go ahead. They run the ball, and they're like, no, we are going to get a first down and try to bleed this clock, because if we kick the field goal to go up by two, it's almost a guarantee on the other side the other team's going to go down and kick a field goal.
You'd rather keep the ball.
Yes, you are seeing a shift in the way some coaches approach it.
Yeah, because you know the other – dude, what was the Chiefs-Bills one? What did they have? 18 seconds or something?
18, I think it
was. Was that what it was?
It might have been less. It might have been 16 seconds. And they scored with 16 or 18 seconds left, and Mahomes got him into field goal range.
It's crazy.
Speaking again of playing too conservative, but teams are just such cowards when it comes to that. No one wants to bring pressure because you end up with a 1-on-1, and everyone is afraid of getting beat over the top and getting their ass fired.
All right. Well, we will have more hot NFL talk coming up later in our show. But up next, let's look at the Heisman. This is Isaac and Souk on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.